very well have been a parson, or at least a parson's wife. "The earth is beautiful in her Sunday gown," she said. And this thought she had expanded and set down in poetic form, with clinchings, making a poem that was so long and lovely. The assistant schoolmaster, Mr. Kisserup, not that his name matters at all, was her nephew, and on a visit to the gardener's he heard the poem. It did him good, he said, a lot of good. "You have soul, madam," he said. "Stuff and nonsense," said the gardener. "Don't be putting such ideas in her head. Soul. A wife should be a body, a good, plain, decent body, and watch the pot to keep the porridge from burning." "I can take the burnt taste out of the porridge with a bit of charcoal," said the woman, "and I can take the burnt taste out of you with a little kiss. You pretend you don't think of anything but cabbage and potatoes, but you love the flowers too." Then she kissed him. "Flowers are the soul." "Mind your pot," he said as he went off to the garden. That was his pot, and he minded it. But the assistant schoolmaster stayed on, talking to the woman. Her lovely words, "Earth is beautiful," he made a whole sermon of, which was his habit. "Earth is beautiful, and it shall be subject unto you," was said, "and we became lords of the earth. One person rules with the mind, one with the body. One comes into the world like an exclamation mark of astonishment, another like a dash that denotes faltering thought, so that we pause and ask, why is he here? One man becomes a bishop, another just a poor assistant schoolmaster, but everything is for the best. Earth is beautiful, and always in her Sunday gown." Oh, that was a thought-provoking poem, madam, full of feeling and geography. "You have soul, Mr. Kisserup," said the woman. "A great deal of soul, I assure you. After talking with you, one clearly understands oneself." And so they talked on, equally well and beautifully. But out in the kitchen, somebody else was talking, and that was the goblin. The little gray-dressed goblin with the red cap, you know the fellow. The goblin was sitting in the kitchen acting as pot-watcher. He was talking, but nobody heard him except the big black pussycat, Cream Thief, the woman called him. The goblin was mad at her, because he had learned she didn't believe in his existence. Of course, she had never seen him, but with all her reading she ought to have realized he did exist and have paid him a little attention. On Christmas Eve, she never thought of setting out so much as a spoonful of porridge for him, though all his ancestors had received that, and even from women who had no learning at all. Their porridge used to be so swimming with cream and butter that it made the cat's mouth water to hear about it. "She calls me just a notion," said the goblin, "and that's more than I can stand. In fact, she simply denies me. I've listened to her saying so before, and again now, just in there, where she's driveling to that boy Whipper, that assistant schoolmaster. I say with Pup, 'Mind the pot.' That she doesn't do. So now I'm going to make it boil over." And the goblin blew on the fire till it burned and blazed up. "Soor, roor, rup!" And the pot boiled over. "And now I'm going to pick holes in Pop's socks," said the goblin. "I'll unravel a large piece, both in toe and heel, so she'll have something to darn. That is, if she's not too busy writing poetry. Madam Poetess, please darn Pop's stocking." The cat sneezed. He had caught a cold, though he always wore a fur coat. "I've opened the door to the larder," said the goblin. "There's boiled cream in there as thick as paste. If you won't have a lick, I will."
"If I'm going to get all the blame and whipping for it anyway," said the cat, "I'll lick my share of the cream."
"First a lick, then a kick," said the goblin.
"But now I'm off to the assistant schoolmaster's room, where I'll hang his suspenders on the mirror, put his socks in the water pitcher, and make him think the punch was too strong and his brain is in a whirl. Last night I sat on the woodpile by the kennel. I have a lot of fun teasing the watchdog. I let my legs dangle in front of him. The dog couldn't reach them no matter how hard he jumped. That made him mad. He barked and barked, and I dingled and dangled. We made a lot of noise. The assistant schoolmaster woke up and jumped out of bed 3 times, but he couldn't see me, though he was wearing his spectacles. He always sleeps with his spectacles."